This is KCUR 89.3. Now we bring you the final chapter in our investigative series on Kansas City's high homicide rate. We've called the series The Argument because police say that is the primary motive for murder here. We went deeper, looking into the reasons behind specific arguments such as retaliation, drugs, domestic violence, and easy access to weapons. Today, though, something different, as KCUR's Peggy Lowe considers the perception that mental illness is as the root of many violent crimes.
Darian Stanley was worked up when he met his ex-girlfriend here at a BP gas station at 30th and Van Brunt Boulevard on the east side, a Sunday morning, September of last year. Stanley's mother told the ex-girlfriend that Stanley hadn't been seen for 2 days and was talking about doing, to quote her, crazy stuff. Things escalated quickly. Stanley threatened to kill the woman because she had been with another man. They ultimately ended up at the man's home about 6 miles south, just off Blue Parkway. When they arrived here at a wooded area at 56th and Hardesty, the ex-girlfriend jumped from the car and ran. Torrance Evans came outside, and witnesses told police that Stanley gunned him down.
And I just assumed what happened with Darian was that if some guy messed with his girlfriend.
Jonathan McClinton counseled Darian Stanley a few years ago when he was in the Northwest Regional Youth Center, a juvenile lockup in Kansas City. Stanley was about 17 at the time. Part of McClinton's job called for giving Stanley his meds.
And I mean, he just refused to take them. And you can't make him take them. So he just refused. But he was on medication. You know, and I was used to tell them they prescribed it for a reason.
After a murder, there's often lots of speculation. Rumors at the time of Evan's murder were that Stanley had some mental problems, though that's not confirmed. In fact, blaming mental illness for a murder is really not accurate in this case and so many others.
Mental health is your problem here. This was based on preliminary reports, very deranged individual. A lot of problems over a long period of time.
That's President Trump commenting on the shooter who killed 26 people at a Texas church in November. Advocates for the mentally ill were angry at the president's comments, saying studies show that the large majority of people with serious mental illnesses are never violent.
So you brought up a really interesting point when you mentioned President Trump's comment about the latest mass shooting.
Richard Van Dorn is a mental health researcher at RTI International, an independent nonprofit research institute. Van Dorn says adults with mental illness are more likely to be victimized by violence than they are to perpetrate violence.
And so this notion of, you know, kind of painting people, like I said, with a broad brush is, it's a dangerous proposition. And I think it is a disservice to adults with mental illnesses.
If mentally ill people are violent, Van Dorn says, the blame often lies with drug or alcohol use or child abuse and neglect. Or they turn the gun on themselves. Studies show mental illness is strongly associated with increased risk of suicide. Another factor in play, according to Van Dorn, is whether a mentally ill person is getting treatment. Monique Willis, whose group Mamas on a Mission advocates for families of homicide victims, says there's a stigma in the African-American community about getting professional help.
It's taboo, to say that I'm not okay, to say that I have issues, to actually take a pill to be able to fix my mental health.
Instead, Willis says people take their problems to church.
It's always been within like your mothers and your grandmothers and your grandparents within the community. You know, we'll just pray about it. And, let God put it in his hands and let him handle it.
Stanley's life is now centered around the Jackson County Courthouse, where his trial on first-degree murder and kidnapping charges is set to start next month. At a hearing last week, he was in the orange jumpsuit of the detention center, where he's been for 15 months. His legs and wrists were shackled. His hands were shaking as he read court documents. Street talk may have been about Stanley's mental state, but in court, the focus is on evidence.
Hi, this is Paige Bremner with the Public Defender's Office. You called me about Darian Stanley. I can't comment on someone's mental health.
That's the attorney who has been representing Darian Stanley. Until last week, that is. During a hearing, Stanley was adamant that he wants to represent himself. He claims he's a sovereign citizen. The judge peppered him with questions, making sure Stanley understood that if convicted, he faces life in prison. Among the questions, the judge asked Stanley if he's ever had mental health treatment. He said no. For KCUR 89.3, I'm Peggy Lowe.